what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anybody try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid, Christians, to speak up for the Lord, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to speak up. We don't have to shut up or bag up, but we can stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're getting the truth out of his book, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Good morning to all of you out there in radio land. I'm so happy that you have joined us this morning in the Situation Room. It's always a plum pleasure to have our listeners listening out there in radio land. We hope and pray that you have had a very good week this week. This is Friday, the end of the week. And so they used to say on the job, thank God it's Friday, TGIF day. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's Friday. And so, but it's always just a good day, whatever day it is, when you got Jesus on the throne of your heart, then it's going to be a good day. And so I have with me this morning in the Situation Room my lovely wife, my companion, Sister Wilbert. Good morning, Sister Wilbert.
Good morning, Pastor Wilbert.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine. You are so cool and calm and collective. I wish I could be as cool as you, Sister Wilbert. All right. This morning, we have our week in review on Friday, the week of review and our preview. But before we go into that, Sister Wilbert, let me give out some contact information. If you would like for us to discuss a hot topic, if you got something you want us to talk about in the Situation Room, or you have a Bible question, something that's been bugging you, that you've been thinking about, something that you heard a Bible teacher taught, you may even heard your pastor say something, or something you heard on television and you want us to check it out, we'll check it out for you. If you have even a marriage question, you can contact us and we'll see, do our best to answer it. But here's the contact information. The phone number is 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or you can email us the question at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. All right, Sister Wilbert, weekend review. Let's talk a little bit what happened on Monday in the situation room.
On Monday, we looked at an article entitled, If Your Child Told You I'm Gay, What Would You Do? And this is from Charisma Magazine. And we basically looked at this statement, I'm okay, you okay. Mm. And that's what the world is teaching.
And so if you went to get some clinical counseling
mm-hmm.
to help you deal with that, most clinical counselors, particularly those that are not
Christian,
those that are not Christian counseling, the counseling from the world says, go ahead and accept your child being gay.
Go ahead and accept it. Realize that they were born that way.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I'm okay.
And you okay.
And so I'm okay as a parent with this. And the child is okay being gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay. You okay. So now.
That makes it okay.
Yeah. So I'm okay. You okay. Everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. And if nobody is okay with this, then they got a problem, not the child.
Yeah, we got a problem if we don't believe that it's okay.
All right. All right.
But not,
go ahead, sister.
But not only that, I mean, we have to understand the situation that there are political figures that are on board and saying, oh, it's okay to be
it's
gay.
It's okay
they're
to
born
be gay.
That way. If you come out, then you'll get a call from the president or from Ms. Obama. There's books out there. Perfectly Normal is one. Then you have the news media. You know, all forms.
The news media says it's okay. It's president okay. says it's okay. Governor says mm-hmm. it's okay.
And then mayors.
Mayors are saying it's okay.
So, I'm gay or am I gay? I'm okay. You okay? So, that's what everybody is saying.
Yeah.
But we as Christians, we are not okay with it.
Yeah, and God is not okay with it.
Because we know that is not God's will.
Yeah, that's the Bible talks about that as an abomination over mm-hmm. in the book of Leviticus 18. That's abomination to the Lord. And so, but we had some tips. It gave us some tips,
something that
we could do. We just don't have to lay down and accept that.
Mm-hmm. We have some biblical strategies that we can use.
And what were some of those, Sister Wood?
Number one, pray continually.
Pray.
Number two is listen lovingly and intentionally.
All right.
Number three is clarify exactly what your child means by coming out as gay.
So how far along on the journey?
Yeah. Are you just experimenting, or is this an actual... lifestyle, a pattern that you're following.
Okay.
Number four, encourage disclosure by being calm and skillfully inquire. Well, you know, did something happen? Were you abused? You know, is this just out of curiosity or experiment or whatever?
Did your auntie molest you? Did your uncle molest you? Did the babysitter molest you?
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that? Because a lot of people who end up being gay, a lot of times when you do some counseling, you find out that they was molested by the babysitter or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Number five. In your prayerful preparation for time of discussion, avail yourself to the right resources.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good resources out there. Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. David Foster, Dr. Rava Gogan, and Stephen Bennett. They have some good information that will help a parent.
All right.
Number five
is... And if they have any questions, they can contact us, and we can help. Get them in contact with the right ministries as well.
Mm-hmm. Number six is take your thought captive, knowing fear has torment.
Yeah. Yeah, because the devil is going to beat you down with fear, making you wonder, you know, is they going to bring the love over for Thanksgiving or Christmas? What is everybody going to say? Is my other children going to follow this child lead and mm-hmm. and now all the children in the family, the home, gonna be gay mm-hmm. and all. So
my baby's gonna die.
Yeah,
he has AIDS.
Yeah,
she has AIDS. So yeah, they're
gonna catch AIDS now, and so bring every thought the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, bring every thought into captivity mm-hmm. of the Lord.
Number 7 is confide in trusted friends and ideally a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's just too heavy for you to try to carry the load by yourself.
Mm-hmm. And number 8, consider contacting Lead Them Home Ministry for supplemental help. I mean, there's some ministers out there that can help.
So go get some help. Mm-hmm. Go get you some help.
Number 9, extend compassion and care to your child without compromising or condoning the homosexual lifestyle.
So you let them know that I still love you. We still love you, but we don't accept
your lifestyle.
That lifestyle. And in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the 10th thing is never forget your child is Jesus Christ's purchased possession, whom he loved immensely and will fight to rescue from this deception.
Yeah. So don't lay down and accept that I'm okay, you okay, everybody okay. Let them know now that this is not okay to us. This is not okay to the Lord. The Lord came and he died on Calvary's cross for sin. So your child should not be living for something that Christ had to die for. Mm-hmm. So don't accept this. Go ahead and let this child know that we're going to fight this thing. And in the end, Jesus is going to win. In the end, the devil is indeed a liar. This is a lie, just like he fooled the prodigal son, tricked him out the house, that it was the better life was outside there in the world. Mm-hmm. Prodigal son got out there in the world, and it wasn't until he was busted and disgusted in the hog pen, then he realized who really loved him. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says he came to himself and he realized, you know, my father got everything I need right there at home. He said, I'm going to get out of this hog pen. I'm going on back home. I'm going to tell my daddy, you know, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm no longer worthy to even be called your son. Make me one of the servants. Mm-hmm. But the daddy hugged him and kissed him and put a ring on his hand and put a robe, put shoes and stuff. And so father accepted him, and he was waiting on him to come back home. And that's what you do. You fight for your child, that the child is going to come out, but it's not going to be coming out to show that they are gay. They're going to come out of that lifestyle of gay, come out of sin.
Denounce the sin.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
All right. That was Monday. What did we have on Tuesday, Sister
Tuesday,
Wilbur?
Tuesday, we had marriage questions and answers.
All right.
And one of the questions were, we are deep in debt due to the way my spouse uses a credit card. She does fine for a while, then go off on a spending spree. Uh-huh. What can I do to keep from going deeper in debt?
Yeah. How did we answer that, Sister Wilbur?
Well, we said that she should just hand over the credit card to you. And you should, you know, tear it up. Because it shows that she does not have any control over the spending. She can't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit too much for her at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. So they need to attack the problem. Because mm-hmm. if they don't attack the problem, this thing going to get personal. And they're going to start attacking each other. So he needs to practice some tough love. Go ahead and let her know that, baby, you can't handle this credit card right now. You have to say that in a tactful way, but you're going to have to let me have the credit card. We're going to tap these credit cards. And if you need a credit card, because some credit card, in order to do business, you have mm-hmm. to a lot of times show that you got a credit card.
Yeah.
You tie that credit card up, pay that credit card off, and then just get one with a smaller balance, $250, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, and that way they won't be constantly back in $5,000 debt. I don't know what the debt was here, mm-hmm. but he won't have to really worry about that anymore.
Okay. Our second question was, my husband is always busy and have no time for me and the family. What can I do to fix this problem?
What can she do to fix this problem? What did we say about that, Sister Wilbur?
Well, you started off with saying, well, you want to know, why is he busy? I mean, what things is he busy with? Is it little league football?
Yeah.
Is it at church, or is he in school? Is he working part-time? Does he have two part-time jobs, and et cetera?
Yeah, what is he busy in? Because that's going to tell you a lot. You know, if he's busy, let's say he's busy in church, that's one kind of busyness. But if he's busy on the job, that's another kind of busyness. Mm-hmm. If he's busy with a hobby, that's another kind of busyness. Some busyness is healthy, some busyness is unhealthy. Take for instance, a lot of times when a man get involved in church, sometimes he go at it 100 miles an hour.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, he's so happy he done found Jesus. He's at every Bible study, every Sunday school lesson, every time the church door open, you know, that person is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he's hungry. So that's a kind of, that's a good busyness. The wife, I've seen a lot of wives, they get upset when they see a husband is being busy a lot of time around the church,
mm-hmm.
because in their mind, they weren't looking for a lifestyle change. They was just looking for him to start going to church with them, to have a riding partner to church, or have somebody there in church with them. But they weren't looking a lot of time for a lifestyle change.
And you would think that they would really enjoy it, because they would think they would join in the bandwagon and get involved too, and they still be riding partners, just going to church, doing different activities.
Yeah, but this question here was kind of hard, because I didn't have enough information here. We didn't know what kind of, you know, what he was really busy in doing. Now, if he's just busy being busy trying to avoid problems at home. Sometimes men's got some problems at home and they're running away from something.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of busyness, that's a sin.
Okay.
Whenever you're not, when you don't have your priorities in order.
Mm-hmm.
See, if he's putting other things ahead of his family, then the priority is out of order. So that's a sin. Not spending enough time with his wife, that's a sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he had missed the mark by not spending time with his wife. God didn't bring them together, Sister Wilbur, for them to live a life of separation.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would more or less try to get him to see his sin. But first, I would meet to try to find out why he's so busy,
mm-hmm.
and then deal with that. Because I think you brought up the point about him working.
Because he grew up poor.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of things, maybe not enough food to eat.
Yeah.
Didn't have, you know, clothes.
So that's a fear factor.
Yeah, it could be.
So he's fearful of being in a state of poverty. So he's running away from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying, and in running away from poverty, he don't know when enough is enough.
True.
So you could have a greed a factor. But the husband, I believe in this case, I would advise this lady to, you know, talk it over with her husband, find out, you know, what's the need is in his life, because there is a need. Some men's they have a need for affirmation, and so some people they want to be seen for having a lot of lit boys, they wanted to have a lot of marbles.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that he's a man, he may be trying to get two or three cars, or a boat, and a big house. He's trying to find out what the needs are.
Okay.
And then address the need. I think that's kind of how we answer that.
Mm-hmm.
And then address the need. Then help him to see that being away from his wife so much is a sin. All right. Let's move on, Sister Wilbur. We probably need to move on to Bible questions.
On Wednesday, we had the Bible questions. And question number one was, there is a preacher on television who claims to have the power to heal the sick. Do we have faith healers today?
Well, because we have false healers and fake healers, then that lets you know we got some true healers. Mm-hmm. Because what the devil does, the devil just always counterfeit. He provides a counterfeit. So whatever God is doing, the devil will try to imitate that. And so, personally, I believe that the Bible teaches that God still heals. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 tell us that if any is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith mm-hmm. shall save the sick. Now, a lot of faith healers, they'll even quote that scripture, and they used to be a preacher that used to come on the television. He said, now I want you to stay close to your television now, because at the end of this program I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. And this prayer of faith going to heal you. Well, the problem I had with him, as well as other faith healers, why come they can only heal on television?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my concern. For why is it we don't hear about them healing at Parkland Hospital or Baylor Hospital or Methodist Hospital or the Baptist Hospitals or the nursing home? Why we don't hear about them healing, you know, out there at the park? Somebody got healed with all the people out there at Bachman Lake. Why we don't ever hear about them healing at the service station? They got to fill their car up with gas. You mm-hmm. see, a lot of times, certain parts of town, you see people down on the luck. You see people, homeless people that's hurt and sick and whatever. Why come we don't see them being healed? In Jesus' day, Jesus healed more people out on the streets and out there on the countryside than he did there in the church, in mm-hmm. the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern about that.
Okay.
I believe that we have faith healers today, some people who have the gift of healing, but I don't believe it's like what we see on television. Let me just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's done just like the Bible says. You call a group of preachers over there, they heal, and the next thing we know, next Sunday, that person is back there at church.
Mm-hmm.
So God used those preachers to heal, but they didn't go over there and take no camera.
They didn't.
Yeah. All right, Sister Wilbur, we probably need to go ahead and tell us about Sunday. What's coming up for Sunday school?
For July 13, our Sunday school lesson is entitled Love Builds Up. It's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be looking at how love builds up, not knowledge. And that's dealing with verses 1 through 3. And then our second portion is the Creator is the only God, which is dealing with verses 4 through 6. And then we see the presence of the weak, which is verse 7 and 8. And then we see exercise your freedom wisely, which is verses 9 through 13.
All right, so what's the name of the lesson, Sister Will?
Love builds up.
Love builds up. So love don't tear down. Love builds up. And so we're going to look at the different ways that love builds up. Now, everybody needs this lesson. Mm-hmm. If you're married, you need this lesson, because you need to know how to build up your mate. If you're single, you need this lesson, because you live in a world of people. You're not here by yourself. And so you need to know how to build people up. And God want to use you as a single to do an even greater ministry than a married couple even. So you need to know about how to go about building people up. So love builds up. And that's coming out of where, Sister?
1 Corinthians chapter 8.
First Corinthians chapter 8.
Yes.
And then chapter 13.
No, it's just chapter 8.
Chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Now, if you know your Bible, you need to be inspiring to be a Sunday school teacher. And you need to be in Sunday school. But if you don't know your Bible, then the Sunday school, you need Sunday school. So if you know your Bible, the Sunday school needs you. But if you don't know your Bible, you need Sunday school. So either way it go, you need Sunday school. All right, Sister Wilbert, that was our review. And we looked at Sunday school, what we got coming up next week.
Next week, we still working on the
hot topic Monday.
But Tuesday, we'll still have marriage questions and answers. On Wednesday, Bible questions and answers. And on Thursday,
we'll have another hot topic. All right. And then on Friday, we'll be back in
the weekend
review and preview. All right, then, Sister Wilbert, we got it in today. All right. Look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all today in this Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today in the Situation Room. We do hope and pray something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you and inspire you to stay on the Christian road and to go to church this Sunday. All right, let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. We got folks that come from all over the Metroplex. Well, not even members of our church, but they love our Bible study. So listen to a deeper look in the book at 11 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, if you miss any of these wonderful programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long, because we are in your corner right here in the Situation Room. May God bless you. May God keep you. Have a good weekend. Go to church this Sunday, because God loves you and so do we.